The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA Home Loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
And education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I developed because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the yearly Gilcast Super Bowl preview. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Nate Noling and Sammy Reed. We come together every year. Sammy fires an undefeated IDP prop for the Super Bowl.
Got defeated last year.
Is that true? Damn, dude.
Yeah, remember I did it. Yeah, the Rams did this like scheme change thing where
we had the Mike linebacker, but it turns out he wasn't the Mike. Yeah. What a bummer.
Got dicked. Yeah.
So Sammy not undefeated, 4-1 in historical Super Bowl IDP props. These guys are gonna degen some prize picks and some underdog pick'ems. I'm actually gonna drive. I'm just gonna drive to Illinois on Saturday morning, and I'm going to get a bunch of action down on these, some of these I've already bet. And we're going to make our picks. We're going to talk about the game. It's just, if you want to get thousands of dollars of probably negative EV action down on the Super Bowl, you have come to the right place. I mean,
I
think this is just the right place to start. I mean, what are our general vibes on the game? Do we think this is going to be a Rams Patriots total fucking snooze burger? Do we think this is going to be a Chiefs 49ers where it was a good game the whole time? Chiefs Buccaneers was a total blowout. I mean, what's our vibe here?
People forget that Patrick Mahomes has lost a Super Bowl by 22 points, got his ass kicked.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the little bit of revisionist history here, because if you remember at the end of the first half, Mahomes made one of these, just completely unbelievable whoop-de-doo. You know, he's like flying around. He's completely horizontal. And he chucks a seed in the back of the end zone to Darrell Williams, who it hit his hands. And had he caught that, it would have been a game, right? But the Buccaneers get the ball back at half. They go down and score, and it's completely over at that point. And also people forget the coach's son, who is also on the coaching staff, literally killed someone 48 hours before that game. People don't really discuss that. Just sort of feels like that would have had an impact on the building. I mean, that's just my take.
You're making excuses for your boy. It actually like shocked me when I was watching like old Super Bowl highlights, and I was like, whoa, the Chiefs lost 31-9. I had no recollection of the Super Bowl at all.
And they got completely dicked. It was like the most uncompetitive second half ever.
Yeah. It can happen. I don't know. This game is going to be interesting. There's so many injuries on both sides that like I'm just like frustrated trying to analyze it, because there's just so many things that I don't know. Like even right before we started recording, we were talking about Clyde. I think CEH is just there for depth, but you genuinely think like McKinnon might not have enough to do more than 40% of the snaps. I think he'll gut it out. I mean, you just do. I think you're just going to gut it out, and I think CEH is just there.
Well, I don't disagree, but the way CEH is priced in all these markets is not even like he's going to be depth. It's like he's not going to play. He's got the same stuff as like Boston Scott, who literally might not see a snap in this game, right? And
He costs less than Quez Watkins on DraftKings.
But like the
Quez Watkins got some overs.
Oh, buddy, let's go.
Quez plays. So the last time we saw Clyde, weeks 11 and weeks 10, he literally was Boston Scott, right? He played 4 snaps in week 10 against Jacksonville. He played 5 snaps against the Chargers. But before that, I mean, he was, you know, basically playing sort of the role that we've become accustomed to McKinnon. Now, the big switch last week was, I mean, Pacheco was sort of like we've seen this with the Chiefs in the playoffs a ton. You know, we've seen Darrell become the lead dog. We've seen Damian become the lead dog. And we've seen Jarek become the lead dog kind of out of nowhere in the playoffs. So Pacheco last week, highest snap share of the season, most snaps of the season, most targets of the season, most receptions of the season. And I guess my thing would be how much of that was because McKinnon is banged up and can't be out there, and how much of that is because the coaching staff actually thinks Pacheco is like trustworthy and useful in these scenarios. I don't know the answer to that, but it feels like it would be a good question to have the answer to.
You kind of got to watch the film a little bit, Davis. And I think the film would lead you to say that McKinnon doesn't especially offer anything special.
Well, he does when he feels good. Like when McKinnon is, you know, well, I mean, the thing is he's 31 years old. I mean,
he's not that athletic freak that you remember from Minnesota. I mean,
yeah,
he's
dude, he ain't it. Like, hey, he's fine. But like,
he's old and not healthy.
Yeah.
But I mean, we literally have injuries on both sides. I mean, the quarterback injuries, Jalen's shoulder is clearly a huge thing.
I mean, Mahomes' ankle, it's been 2 months since Jalen Hurts's injury.
Has he
his throw he missed quite... to AJ Brown last week? He's not been the same Hurts.
Yeah, I mean, has he looked the same?
If Hurts is actually injured, the Chiefs are going to win this game by 14 points, I think.
Well,
but I don't really
Hurts
think
is,
I...
Hurts is injured. There's no doubt about it after last week. I mean, I know he's got two weeks in between, but still.
He's had 2 weeks off. He really has barely had to play. I mean, you're right. The throw he missed to AJ Brown was like, I mean, that's legit.
No matter what happens 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, they're going to be talking about how Jalen Hurts like was really gutting through it. Like, of course.
They're going to do that. They're going to do the same thing with this Mahomes ankle injury.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, having watched a lot of football, seen a lot of guys with high ankle sprains, if Mahomes did have a high ankle sprain, the Chiefs have like the greatest medical staff on earth, because he clearly was favoring it in the game against the Bengals, but it wasn't like watching some of these dudes with a high ankle sprains. We see wide receivers miss like 2 months with a high ankle sprain and come back and still suck. You know, it's like, it's so my guess is Mahomes is closer to full health than the media is going to, I mean, just even looking at the spread, If there were rumors and mumblings that Mahomes was still really hurt, the spread would be Eagles by 3, right?
Oh yeah, I don't know, because there's so much injuries on the Eagles side.
Nah, he showed that he's Superman last week. It doesn't matter. Like, Mahomes is the man. Let's start off with what side we're betting. Let's do it.
So I have not bet a side yet. The only wagers I've made are first TD and anytime TD wagers, as well as Mahomes at plus 130 to win Super Bowl MVP. Because as we now know, if the Chiefs win this game, in what scenario are they not giving Mahomes Super Bowl MVP?
I played this game far too long to bet any MVP Super Bowl. I've gotten beat by the Brady Edelman one, the Stafford Cup one. I am not going to play. How could they win and not? Because trust me, my bankroll knows it. It can happen.
Kelsey could go
9 for 180.
If he goes 9 for 180, Mahomes wins, because that means Mahomes has like 300 passing yards. I mean, we got it was an all time robbery that we did not win Damian Williams 25-1 Super Bowl MVP.
I'm still smarting over this. My kids are going to go to community college because the voters completely dicked us on this one. Playoff Damian, come on!
He had 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, including both the game winner and the game finisher, where it was like the one where he scampered down the sideline and that was it.
Yeah, and that fraud Mahomes missed him on a wheel route where he's wide open in the right corner of the end zone. Like
that's not that's not even the one. Remember, the Mahomes rushing touchdown was a pitch play. It was like a little option play, and Mahomes just took it, but he could have just pitched it to Damien, and Damien could have had three touchdowns. It was one of the all-time snow jobs. But Mahomes MVP is the primary wager that I have made at this point. I also have some first touchdown scores. I've got Noah Gray and Jody Fortson. Now, I bet both of these before the news that Smith-Schuster and Tony are both expected to be active. I still think, so right now, on the DraftKings Sportsbook, you can get Jody Fortson, 90-1 first touchdown, 75-1 last touchdown, and 13-1 anytime touchdown. I think those are all still pretty bettable.
I mean, if Smith-Schuster is active, is he really active?
That's the thing. Is this so Juju? This is what Juju Smith-Schuster's performance has been the last month of the season. One target, one reception for 7 yards against the Bengals. Two targets, two receptions, 29 yards against Jacksonville. Two targets, two receptions against the Las Vegas Raiders. Three targets, two receptions against the Denver Broncos. Four targets, three receptions against Seattle. The last time Juju Smith-Schuster had a touchdown was in week 14 against Denver. The last time he had 100 yards was in week 7 against the San Francisco 49ers. I just am not really anticipating him being useful.
Okay, so I came into this thinking all the stuff I'm on is chalky. I'm going to lose. After hearing you guys talk, I'm very excited for this game. So I think the Eagles win this game. Eagles win this game.
No, I do too.
I don't have a bet on this game outcome yet because I think that there's 100% chance there's a live bet that gets me Chiefs plus 7.5 or something at some great odds. Like
sure. I think that seems about right.
So like if I think the Chiefs are going to win, I would not touch the line is 1 right now.
I probably will not bet the money line or the spread before kickoff. I would think.
Yeah. I think Eagles are going to win. I think you're going to get a great Chiefs money line or great Chiefs spread at some point live. But I actually think Juju coming out of the slot, I think most of his numbers are pretty low. I think that over 7.5 fantasy score on Prize Picks is like one of my biggest bets right now is Juju.
Seven and a half full PPR
total fantasy. Yeah.
PPR. Full PPR. That's low. Oh, yeah. That's super low.
Like, yeah. That's good. I like that.
That's one of the best lines.
For 2 for 28 incoming.
No, that's like one of my favorite lines.
No, it's really good
overall. Really good. But I also have like a totally non-projection based. It's just a feel. Like I think Kadarius Toney is going to be schemed and get a ton.
I could not agree anymore. I'm going to be absolutely slamming Kadarius Toney in every market.
So like all of his Prize Picks. I mean, right now his line is 23.5 with a fantasy score of 6.5. And I'm sure there's not a site in the world that has him projected above that because like it's Kadarius Toney, but like Andy Reid having 2 weeks to scheme, like he's gonna get Kadarius Toney some spots here, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean, I think Kadarius Toney could if Kadarius Toney is healthy, and I obviously like that's the big caveat is if can Kadarius Toney not only is he healthy, but can he also avoid getting nicked up? But I mean, Kadarius Toney in the game against Jacksonville played 20 snaps and got a rush and 7 targets. He's getting a touch on like half of the snaps he is on the field. And Nate, to your point, I mean, it's literally the fucking Super Bowl. What are you saving Kadarius Toney for? If he breaks his ankle here, whatever. Like, I mean, Marcus Kemp played the last 18 snaps against the Bengals and the Chiefs still won. So it's like, you know, and I think probably, I'm jamming some
Kadarius owners right overs right now.
Yeah. I mean, I Toney will probably be the guy I most need in terms of, like showdown stuff. Let's see here. Let me find his stuff on DraftKings. Kadarius Toney on DraftKings. Yeah, I mean 23.5 receiving yards is his line. I think something you can do in some of these same game parlays is bet his alt overs, like over 50 yards, over 45 yards, stuff like that. I think that is like a pretty good angle. And his,
I'd be far more likely to bet his like touchdown and his fantasy point overs I would like straight up volume. You know what I mean? Like
that makes sense. Yeah.
I just think, you know, Tony, they've shown that they don't want to run Tony out there for 45, 50 snaps. They want to limit his snaps, but when he's on the field, they want to do cool shit with
him. But it's the fucking Super Bowl, dude. What are we saving him for? What, like, literally, what is the point of limiting his snaps in the Super Bowl?
I have no answer. I just, I mean, they I think haven't done it once.
No, I mean,
and
I
he
think
already
you're,
got hurt in the last game.
I think you're probably right. I think you're probably right. But I mean, I like to Nate's point, I mean, the Eagles, like, I think everyone sort of universally agrees, like, the Eagles are a better team. The Eagles have better players. They're better on defense. They have a better offensive line. They have better defensive backs, better, like, maybe not a better pass rush.
It's the age old
Sirianni in game is a much better coach than Andy Reid.
It depends on are you saying like play design and play calling, the Chiefs will be way better, but the Chiefs will do at least one extremely stupid time management thing in this game. They will do at least one thing where you're like, I cannot fucking believe this team keeps making the same mistake.
Because that's what Andy Reid does. He's a genius for 2 weeks leading up to the game, but then once the game starts, he just fumbles.
Well, there's also the other thing of the Chiefs having like the worst special teams in the NFL. It's like can't you just see Sky Moore back there fucking muffing a punt? Can't you just see it? Can't you know it's 8 minutes left in the second quarter. The Eagles are up 10-7. The Chiefs defense gets a big stop and they punt it away, and Sky Moore calls for the fair catch and bobbles it, and all of a sudden the Eagles are on the 8 yard line, and it's just like, great, you know, the Chiefs
I don't know what the touchback, if it's going to be a touchback coming out of the kickoff, but if the Chiefs receive, Sky Moore is returning that no matter what.
Correct.
Well, Sky Moore is running that out of the end zone no matter what.
Nate, it just so happens that I do know. Do you want to hear the touchback stuff?
Yes.
Give me the touchback prop.
Okay, so will the first kick be a touchback? Yes is pretty heavily juiced, -184. Philadelphia and KC were both about 65% touchbacks this year. Philly was 65.5, KC 64.5. But on the road, these teams kicked mad touchbacks. 83% touchbacks on the road for Philly, 71.4% touchbacks on the road for Kansas City. I don't know why this would be that it's so much higher for both teams on the road. Maybe it's because cold weather cities and the ball doesn't far. But either way, this Super Bowl's in Phoenix, yeah?
Yes.
I'm going yes for the touchback, and this more talk gets me feeling a little squirrely, Nate, because I'm heavy into the first kick is a touchback.
There's a narrative. I think it's Pat McAfee. Is he the one who's got the touchback narrative of in the Super Bowl why it's not going to be a touchback? It's like,
I want to hear it because I actually go ahead.
Davis probably knows it better than I do. It's something like the coaches during the regular season can like soften up the balls before the kickoff, but because at the Super Bowl, the ball goes immediately to the Hall of Fame, to Canton, they like nobody touches the ball beforehand because they want the ball as hard as possible. So like,
my narrative in my head, the narrative that makes the most sense is the same thing you just said, which is, these dudes are so gassed up to be playing in the Super Bowl. There's just no way they want to take the touchback. I mean,
All right. Well, hold on. I actually have some historical touchback data for you guys.
Okay.
And I went back and looked through the box scores of the last 9 Super Bowls. And in 6 of the 9, there was no touchback. The guy brought it out.
Yeah. So, that's where the value is. It's no touchback.
I agree. I'm gonna bet this. I just added no touchback. Yeah. I think no touchback is the move. I mean, I think we gotta hit on this bigger sort of narrative viewpoint, which is everyone who's played in multiple Super Bowls says this. It's not like playing in a regular game, right? It's much different. The pregame takes forever. The halftime, that's one of the things that the Patriots guys always said, was that they always felt they had an advantage because of the way the halftime works. You know, halftime takes like 45 minutes in the Super Bowl, where at normal game, it's like 15 minutes. You basically go in. Oh, it's what Manning said this on the broadcast the other day. You basically go in the locker room at halftime. You take a piss, you like eat a little snack, and you come back out and you're ready to go. I mean, the Eagles have, I think it's four guys who were on the team the last time they were in the Super Bowl, where you look at the Chiefs roster and it's basically like a huge chunk of the team has Super Bowl experience. You know, obviously, like including Andy Reid, Mahomes played in a ton of huge games. I guess Tony Smith-Schuster, they haven't. Sky Moore obviously hasn't. The rookie defensive back hasn't. But I mean, are we weighing any of the element of prior Super Bowl experience here in our narratives?
I'm not, but newfound, maybe. I honestly, I think I'm betting Philly. I'm just betting Philly. They smash everybody, and I think they might just smash Kansas City, and we'll be like, oh yeah, it made total sense that Philly was just like the best team this year. I know it's tough to bet against Mahomes. You know, it's that age old, like, oh yeah, it's the best team versus the best quarterback. But dude, Philly just like lays waste to fools, and they have been the best team all year. They've smashed people in the playoffs. I know, you know, obviously it's like, yeah, they, you know, got the Giants and, you know, a dinged up Niners team, but like everybody that stepped to them, they've crushed. And man, that team is a freaking beast. Like their offensive weapons, their defensive line. I mean, God, I'm betting Philly, and I'm actually betting a big in a spot where I usually don't bet Super Bowl and shit. I just think they're so good.
I think if you said which of the things is more likely, I think the Chiefs are almost drawing dead for like a huge victory, like winning by like 10 plus points or whatever. I think that is basically impossible. And the Eagles could totally, I mean, if the Eagles start this game, you know, they roll down the field, they do the Eagles thing. It's like, oh, AJ Brown, oh, Devonta Smith, and oh, Jalen Hurts, 4-yard rushing touchdown. And then they get like, you know, an early turnover or whatever. And all of a sudden, like, I think it's a real slippery slope where like this game could get non-competitive pretty quick. And I don't really think, because the Chiefs defense is just so poor relative to, I mean, that's kind of the interesting. It's not a good defense. I mean, they have some guys who can make plays, you know, like Snead is fine. I forget the name of the rookie who almost had the pick off Burrow on the first drive last week. Like, he's fine. Karlaftis and Frank Clark and Chris Jones are like, they have a good pass rush. But I mean,
yeah, Chris Jones is a beast, dude.
I mean, how much does having a really good pass rush matter against Jalen Hurts, though? That's kind of the thing. It's like Jalen Hurts might just fucking dice you up. You rush him too hard, and all of a sudden he's just, because you kind of saw this with Burrow. Like, they would collapse the pocket, and then Burrow was just like, you know, fucking pitter-pattering for these first downs. Like, Jalen Hurts is way better at that than Joe Burrow is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see a way that this game gets out of hand towards Kansas City. I think
no chance.
I think the Eagles are going to have a lead, and I think there's a chance Mahomes does Mahomes things and comes back and makes it a game. But I just think the Eagles win this. And if Mahomes does Mahomes things, it's going to be him bringing them back from two touchdowns down. And if you think that script's coming, like, I don't think anybody who wants to have money on the Chiefs here should be betting until this game starts. Like, just wait till live. Like, you're going to get so much better numbers. I don't see a way that the Eagles come out and get back and get behind. I just don't.
Yeah.
That's why I love the Miles Sanders first half numbers so much.
I like Jalen Hurts over 37.5 yards for longest completion. I mean, I know he's playing with his shoulder sprain, but I do actually think the biggest advantage the Eagles have is AJ Brown against these Chiefs corners. I think AJ Brown is GAM season. It's grown ass man season for AJ. I think he is just going to completely destroy this Chiefs team. I think he is the Eagles player. As someone who would like the Chiefs to win this game, AJ Brown is the player I'm most scared of. Just, I mean, we've seen Chase do this to the Chiefs. We've seen Stephon Diggs do that. Like they just get absolutely torched by these really elite wide receivers. Basically, I mean, T. Higgins was just making the Chiefs secondary last week or 2 weeks ago look like high school players. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah, AJ Brown's gonna do it. Sammy, yeah. Give me some defensive takes.
Well, we're gonna save the IDP prop till the end, Nate. I think that's what we need to do. But I will give you one of the funnest props that I found. And this prop is the white boy pass attempt prop. Will a Caucasian throw a pass in this game?
You're stealing my thunder. This is my favorite bet every single year, the over 2.5 players to throw a pass.
Yes, it is. But now they have an ethnic background twist to it, Davis.
I mean, this is simply the same wager that I make every single year, which is basically the will Noah Gray or Travis Kelce throw a pass. And by the way, I think the Eagles could do it. Like, I think the Eagles are actually drawing live with Goddard or with Calcaterra or Stoll. Yeah.
Well, when you're talking about a tight end throwing a pass, though, you're basically referencing a Philly special play. Like, are there any other plays where a tight end throws a pass?
I mean, the Chiefs have done the Chiefs, not obviously in this high leverage of a spot, but the Chiefs do dumb shit like this all the time. You know, Kadarius Toney could throw a pass in this game. You know,
yeah, but he's an African American.
Yeah.
So the white guys on the teams are the tight end, but then also like the kick and the holders. And I'm actually, I think I'm on team no for the white boy.
I'm on team no. All the running backs and wide receivers are all like African American. That makes, I'm on team right. No.
Yeah. What are the odds? What are the odds you're getting on this? Cause I'm seeing how many players will have a passing attempt over 2.5 at plus 160. I'm betting this right now.
Right. You can bet that, but the no on white boy pass attempt is only minus 250.
Oh,
like
Here's the thing. When you are engaging in Super Bowl novelty props, you're trying to have a good time. The other element is Blake Bell is on the Kansas City Chiefs and he was a college quarterback. So like I think it makes it more likely actually like these two specific teams that we get. I think these are like basically the two teams I would pick in the Super Bowl for will a white person throw a pass or will over 2.5 players attempt to pass. I think this is an extremely good wager.
You're going yes. I'm going no white boy. No white boy minus 250. And I'm not gonna have any fun. No,
yeah.
No
with you.
Fun. Yeah, I'm just gonna be rooting for Blake Bell not to do a pop pass. Oh no, the Travis Kelce pop pass thing.
It's not just the Philly special.
It's
yeah. You are. I mean, do you guys? Like, obviously, you don't. You've memory hold this. The Chiefs were doing this in the Super Bowl against the Buccaneers. Blake Bell threw a pass on third fucking down in the red zone against the Buccaneers, dude.
Did he really?
Yes. Go back.
I'm gonna get wrecked on this prop. I already bet it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is you. This is not a good bet. You're losing EV here.
Okay. I'll give you Nate. I will satiate you. I will give you a global sack prop, global defensive, and I'll save my IDP for the end. But I like both overs on the sack props, both Philly over 2.5 sacks for the game, and the game over 5.5 sacks, and this game actually sets up pretty well for that because Philly's adjusted sack rate was 11.8%, which the next closest team, the second place team, was 8.9%. Philly's sack rate this year, I think they had like 70 total sacks. was completely out of hand. And Mahomes obviously quite good at avoiding sacks, but the fact that he is a little bit gimpy, I know he's had a couple weeks to heal it, but if he does have a high ankle sprain, I think it's probably foolish to like think he's 100% at this point. I just think that limits his mobility a little bit. And against this kind of defensive line, you know, I just think that's trouble. And the other flip side is what Nate's saying is I anticipate Philly having a lead. Like that's something that I'm building through a lot of my props. And if they have a lead, Mahomes is going to have to throw a lot. There's going to be a lot of opportunity for sackage. So for me, Philly over 2.5 sacks for the game is one of my favorite props.
I don't know if Mahomes, I want to say this is true. I don't believe he has ever been sacked more than 3 times. And yeah, this is not true. The last time he was sacked more than 3 times in a game.
Well, it's more than 2.5 times. So it's 3 or more.
Okay. So it's happened. It hasn't. It has not happened since, what fucking game is this? It happened once against the Titans this year. He just doesn't, he basically is one of the best quarterbacks at not getting sacked even when pressured. I don't love this one.
Yeah, he's a wizard. I think KC had like the fourth or fifth lowest adjusted sack rate this season.
Yeah, 3.9 is Mahomes's sack rate as a quarterback, which is actually the second best of his career.
Yeah,
I agree with your logic though, because I think the market is probably, I mean the market is just not pricing in the fact that the Chiefs might just get shithoused here. You know that it might just get ugly. Yeah,
yeah,
that's definitely real. All right, let's give some prize pick stuff. What do you guys got for prize picks, underdog type stuff?
I've already given out a few of them. I mean, Miles Sanders over, the line's moved a little bit. I got it at 26.5, but I think it's now at like 28.5, which I would still take over 28.5 rushing yards first half. Gainwell over 1.5 receptions. Juju over 7.5.
I like the Gainwell angle. He's played a lot the last 2 weeks. I think they're not wanting to use Miles Sanders as much. I mean, Gainwell's snap share the last 2 weeks matches his 2 season highs. So I think that's a pretty clear indication that they are wanting to use both of these guys, particularly. It's picked like 2 minute drill too is exclusively Gainwell.
Yeah. And then Quez over 2.5 fantasy score. I mean, literally like one play could get him that. And then Justin Watson under 3.5 fantasy score. I think with everybody being back, I just am like, I mean, obviously Meikle's out, but like, I don't think Watson plays. So under 3.5 feels fine.
I think so. It's the Watson stuff is sort of interesting because it's a matter of, what do they do with Watson and Sky? Watson obviously, you know, is less, well, I guess Watson theoretically is less dynamic than Sky, but Sky
theoretically is just, Watson is 1,000%, 1,000% less athletic than Sky.
But any Sky doesn't do
game
anything.
Planning. That's any game planning Sky. That Reed is doing.
I mean, he puts the ball on the ground. Sky, he makes the game Kadarius fun,
and not Watson.
Andy
Reid is not sitting at home right now cooking up a play going, I'm going to get Justin Watson the ball in the Super Bowl. Like,
well, you don't think so? Reason, that's exactly only, what Andy Reid would do. That's Andy Reid's shit Justin right
Watson,
there.
The only reason Justin Watson sees the field is if Kadarius and these other guys.
He only sees the field to throw a pass to ruin my white boy prop.
So I think an interesting angle is do the Chiefs.
The fact that Quez is over is 2.5 and Watson is 3.5 is like insane.
No, you're
Quez
right.
Quez is out there all the time.
Quez's snap share the last month, 57%, 31% in a total non-competitive game against the Giants, 42% in the must-win game against the Giants in Week 18, 51% against New Orleans, 72% in the shootout game against Dallas, right? So I think obviously – I mean, right, that's going to be a thing, is if this game does get competitive. If the Eagles are trailing, Quez is going to play way more than Stoll and Calcaterra. You're going to get a lot more of him in there. I think one of the most interesting angles for these prop bets is how much of two tight end and three tight end stuff did the Chiefs do. They actually were the most effective team in the NFL in 12 and 13 personnel this year, because Noah Gray has become like a meme at this point. He plays all the time for the Chiefs. He's got, I mean, on the season, he's basically like a 55% target share, sort of the same deal as Quez. He's got one touchdown on the year. He's got one game of more he's got, his high for the season is 45 yards. I will say, I'm absolutely jamming the shit out of Noah Gray, Blake Bell, and Jody Fortson props. Bell actually didn't play as much as I thought he would. He was a, that's sort of interesting. He was a scratch against the Bengals, and they made Jody Fortson active over him, I guess because they like Fortson more as a pass catcher than they do Bell. Bell is like blocking only. But I'm betting overs on all the Chiefs secondary tight ends, because I get a feeling that our Kadarius Toney stuff is not going to work, and actually Jody Fortson and Blake Bell and Noah Gray are just going to be playing a shit ton.
Davis is running his own white boy prop over here.
Jody Fortson first touchdown is 90-1. That is an extremely good bet, I think.
No, you're a sick man. Other prize pick stuff I like. I just like straight up Devontae Smith yardage overs.
Yeah.
He's at 60.5. He's averaged over 70 yards a game this year. You know, he's like, I don't know. It's just awesome. You know, he's a great player. For me, getting that line, I think, is pretty low. I like Isaiah Pacheco over 68.5 total yards. It's always a little dicey messing with Andy Reid.
We were talking about this earlier. This is something that I think the market doesn't know, which is what is the playing time split going to be between McKinnon, Pacheco, and is Clyde Edwards-Helaire even going to play?
I'm not touching any KC running back. I have no idea what to do.
Yeah, something else. One of the ones I absolutely adore on Prize Picks, this might be my favorite one, is Eagles defense allows more than 0.5 fourth down conversions.
Oh, easy over.
Essentially, easy over. Will KC, and that's a line on Prize Picks, will KC convert a fourth down conversion? I say yes. And yeah, you can get that on Prize Picks. That's like my gold star Prize Picks one.
I like that. I think that the McKinnon lowers on Underdog, I think 5.5 rushing attempts is sort of interesting, because you would think that even if they do move him back in the role, I mean, just for example, the role that he was playing in the postseason last year, you would think that probably it's not gonna be very much rushing, right?
That's where I do think Clyde can impact it. If Clyde just gets two carries in this game, that's potentially two carries that McKinnon didn't.
He's taking those away from McKinnon. I don't think he's taking those away from Pacheco. I think you're right. Yeah. I'm with you. I think Devonta Smith on Underdog is 64.5 receiving yards. I think that is an easy over. I like lower than 9.5 rushing yards for Boston Scott. I think if Boston Scott makes a cameo in this game, it's goal line stuff only. It's going to be way within the 5-yard line. I don't think we're going to see Boston's and in fact, I think maybe there's a chance that Boston Scott does not play at all. What do you think about that, Nate?
Yeah, I like that. I want Boston Scott unders. I mean, the touchdown stuff always concerns me from fantasy score. So I would just take any attempts or raw yard totals, but
I got an interesting one for you guys here on DraftKings. Travis Kelce versus Dallas Goedert, you're getting plus 38.5 yards for Dallas Goedert versus Kelce. I think I like that side priced at minus 115. Kelce, obviously Kelce is going to be super involved in the red zone. He's going to be a huge part of the game plan. But it feels like even if Kelce gets, his high for the year is 121. Feels like even if Kelce gets his high for the season at 121 receiving yards, you're still drawing pretty live with Goddard at that point. But a 78 yard game for Kelce, and you're like you're almost auto winning this bet.
I like Goddard.
I do think Goddard. Yeah, I was waiting for us to talk about Goddard because I think Goddard overs are another sharp place to be.
Yeah. I think, what is he, 46.5 on Prize Picks, Nate? Somewhere in there, in that neighborhood? Yeah, I tend to like that too. I think Goddard's like kind of a G.
Yeah, I mean, I think on FanDuel, let's see here, what do they have? They have Goddard at 50.5 receiving yards. They have...
I'd probably take his fantasy score just because I think the touchdown equity, like his fantasy score is like 10.5 and his yardage props at 47.5, where I could totally see him getting, 45, 3, and a TD.
Yeah. So. I like MVS over 19.5 for longest reception.
Longest reception. Love this.
Yeah. Yeah, that one. I mean, I think we're an hour into this and we have not mentioned Valdez Scantling, but I mean, Valdez Scantling like basically just had the most impactful game of his career. I mean, Marcus Valdez Scantling just saved the Chiefs' ass against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Two for 31 in the Super Bowl incoming.
I mean, which guy here is the Sammy Watkins, right? I guess. Tony is probably the Watkins, right? Go useless all season long, shows up in the Super Bowl with 6 for 115 and a touchdown. Doesn't it just feel fated that Tony is going to do it? Well, no, this is the funny thing.
It really does to me.
Tony does it here. 6 for 115 and a touchdown in the Super Bowl. He shows up in he's going in the fourth round of fantasy drafts this upcoming season and
Gabe Davis.
Gabe Davis is it, and that just sucks ass all year, gets hurt, barely plays, useless when he does play. It does feel like that is coming down the pipeline. My last thing here is I think I am gonna bet some of the and very few books even have these posted. Like DraftKings doesn't have this posted at all. When it does get posted, I am gonna bet some Clyde overs, provided they're very low, provided they're similar to Boston Scott, 9.5 rushing yards, 1.5 receptions, things like that. Or
they will be.
Yeah. And DraftKings has him at let's see here. I just had the touchdown stuff pulled up. They had him super low for TD scores and that was like, yeah, so he's 22-1 for first touchdown, 13-1 or 4-1 for anytime touch. I don't love that. I think that's priced a bit too much. My first touchdown stuff is right now I've got Noah Gray, Justin Watson, Jody Fortson, and Blake Bell in the TD markets. Do you guys have anything in the TD markets that you like?
So there is one that I'm having a little fun with. And it's jersey number over under 11.5 for first and last touchdown. Under. Okay. So my thinking is that most of the Eagles passing game is under, right? Devontae Smith is number 6. AJ Brown is number 11. And then it also covers Jalen Hurts rushing touchdowns. It also takes the Chiefs MVS. It takes Pacheco and McKinnon. And even a little Juju equity at number 9.
Yeah.
So I like going under for the first touchdown. And then late in the game, that's where the Chiefs pass catchers come in. When they're trailing, they got to come back. Or somebody like... The Eagles running backs salted away, right? Miles Sanders, Gainwell, Boston Scott, whoever. The last touchdown score over 11.5. That includes Kelce, Tony, Sky Moore, Watson, all these guys are over. So I'm actually doing first touchdown under and then last touchdown over. That's my touchdown props.
Sammy with the dirtiest grind of all. I can't even touch it.
Yeah.
It's going to be so sweet when Jalen Hurts gets that first rushing touchdown. It's just like, oh yeah.
All right, we gotta hit this one. We always do. What will happen to the price of Bitcoin during the Super Bowl? Price of Bitcoin goes up -130. Price of Bitcoin goes down even. What side are we on here?
Up always.
Up only, baby. Yeah, I'm gonna bet this one right now. Gonna put that in. All right, we have Bitcoin. The price of Bitcoin will go up. Firing. We got that one live. Sammy, do you have any other novelty type bullshit to get out of the way before we get to the IDP prop?
I think I'm all tapped out on novelties. We got my white boy pass attempts, and we have the first TD jersey scores and last TD jersey scores. Those are my novelties.
All right, Nate, what about you? You got anything else before we get to our top plays and Sammy's IDP prop?
No, I was scrolling through the underdog rivals because I thought I saw a head-to-head prop that was Mahomes passing touchdowns versus Hurts passing touchdown, and Mahomes was -0.5, which was like easy for me because Mahomes like passing touchdowns. I don't see a way that Mahomes doesn't +1, +2 Hurts is passing touchdowns here. So if that's anywhere where you on your books, I would take
DK and FanDuel both have those head to head. My guess is that underdog will put that we'll put that stuff back up. All right, Sammy, the floor is yours, and then we'll do this. Nate and I will give our top favorite play, and then we'll get out of here.
All right, the IDP prop that I have landed on that I'm smashing in the Super Bowl is Philadelphia linebacker TJ Edwards over 8.5 tackles. And this one is a little scary because Edwards has, his tackle numbers have been pretty low in the first couple of games, right? Of the playoffs, he's had like 4 or 5, something like that. But overall this season, I think he had 154 total tackles. And in blowout games, he tends to get very few tackles, right? He's gone under 8.5 every time the Eagles have won by 24 plus. That's 4 games. In the games that were a little closer, when the Eagles did not win by 24 plus, he averaged 9.8 tackles and had at least 10 out of 15 games, 67%, right? KC also likes to attack the middle of the field. They're middle of the field attacking points. So if you parse out the positions that KC allows fantasy points to, they are 5th highest in terms of giving up fantasy points to middle linebackers. TJ Edwards is a guy that plays essentially 100% of the snaps. He doesn't pass rush very often, not a big blitzer. He's a guy that kind of hangs back in zone. And so, you know, when Mahomes is scrambling, when he's trying to get it to Kelsey, et cetera, et cetera, I think TJ Edwards is going to be very involved. I do think it's, you know, a closer game. They're not going to win by 24 plus anything like that. I think that TJ Edwards gets a lot of tackles here. And so my over, TJ Edwards over 8.5.
Amazing. Boom. Amazing. Lock it in. TJ Edwards, Philadelphia.
He's Eagles. 8 on Prize Picks. So I'm loading it.
Loading.
I'm firing as you're talking all the time.
Nate's just pairing it with, you know, Kadarius Toney overs and Juju fantasy point overs and about to get rich.
Easy. Easy game. All right, Nathan, your favorite Super Bowl play is what?
I'm stuck between I'm gonna just pick, it's Kenny Gainwell over 1.5 receptions.
I think that one is good.
Earlier in the year, didn't you tell me to stop betting?
Yes, that's why I feel like running back reception props are the biggest like negative EV play you could do.
Well, no, they're plus EV, but the margins are so thin. like, you know, because it's 1.5, it's like either he catches that second target or he doesn't, and it's you get to watch the wealth just go right through your fingers.
Yeah, running back reception props are not a good place to put your money, so I'm making that my gold star play.
All right, my gold star play is AJ Brown over 71.5 receiving yards. My silver star plays are Noah Gray and Jody Fortson, first touchdown and anytime touchdown. First touchdown, anything better than 60-1. Anytime touchdown, anything better than 10-1 on those guys. I've got both of those in single props, same game parlays. I think that's basically saying Sky Moore stinks and Kadarius Toney can't play all the snaps is really effectively what you've got going on there. And I'm going to be waiting for more Clyde Edwards-Helaire stuff to come out. Cause if you can get over Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like 9.5 rushing yards, that feels pretty good to me. So there we go, guys. I don't know, like the sixth or seventh time we've done this, the Super Bowl preview, we've got Sammy's lock IDP prop. We've got me betting on, just random Chiefs guys, you know, it's and Nate losing money on a running back prop. So, you know, gang's all here. I think we stuck to our brand, over 2.5 passing attempts. It's beautiful. We're feeling good. All right,
as long as it's an African American who throws the pass, we're all happy.
Yeah, I am not doing any MVP props this year. I am so dust on that.
What price would you bet? What price would you have to get Tony at to bet him for MVP?
Like 25-1. I mean, he might have two plays.
Well, he's 100-1 on DraftKings for Super Bowl MVP.
Let's go, Nate. It's time. What are they saving him for?
Yeah, imagine all this talk. We talked about Tony. We're not betting him at 100-1. I'm making that an official.
Okay, 100-1. You have to do some. Yeah, yep. Put some on it.
There we go. Ending the program. Kadarius Tony, 100-1 Super Bowl MVP. You heard it here first, everyone. We're getting out of here. Good luck with all your Super Bowl wagering, and we will see you back next week.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.